Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One evening in the fall of 1976, husband and wife, Dan and Joyce Ahrens, were heading to bed after settling their children, 3-year-old Daniel and 1-year-old Heather. Heather slept in a crib on the far side of Dan and Joyce's bedroom. The parents soon put on their pajamas, kissed each other goodnight, and went to sleep. But at some point in the night, a red light suddenly lit up the entire bedroom in a strange glow. What happened next was beyond terrifying, and even more so, it was beyond explanation.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
Joyce and Dan Ahrens had just awoken in bed to a strange red glow enveloping their entire bedroom. Dan believed a fire had started outside. He turned to alert Joyce of this suspicion. However, despite how hard he tried, no words or even sounds would leave his mouth. It was at this point that they both realized they suddenly couldn't move. Needless to say, each was beyond perplexed by the events that were unfolding around them. Both also knew that they had been fully awake when the light appeared moments earlier, so they were not imagining this unsettling episode. Joyce, many years later, would recall the following about that night.
I couldn't feel my body. I couldn't move, except for my eyes. I was just frozen there. My eyes shooting back and forth, trying to see what was causing this. I screamed and screamed, but it was in my head. Nothing was coming out.
Although this episode only appeared to last several seconds, it felt like a small eternity for the pair. Then, as suddenly as it arrived, the light went out, returning the room to darkness. As soon as it did so, each regained full control of their bodies and speech. It was at that moment that Joyce's attention veered toward the crib where Heather had been sleeping.
She was awake, standing in the crib, her eyes wide staring at us.
Both Dan and Joyce were completely at a loss with what had just transpired. But even more bizarre, rather than discuss the events, the pair simply settled their daughter and returned to sleep. They wouldn't speak of the event for many years to come. Years later, Heather recalled something that she would relay to her parents. These were recurring nightmares where a gigantic monster terrorized her, and there was some sort of strange eye that she looked into and could see her own reflection. When she was 11 years old, she would draw a picture of this monster.
She was 11 at the time. She had a vivid nightmare one night and woke up screaming. After settling her down, I asked her to draw what she believed she had seen. She quickly did so. The head was very big. It had large, black, almond-shaped eyes and 2 small nostrils. Its mouth was nothing more than a small slit.
In essence, what Heather was describing and then drawing was what many would consider an alien gray.
Dan and I didn't really understand what it was or what she was talking about. Frankly, we didn't believe her. thinking it was her imagination sparked by nothing more than nightmares.
But their thoughts changed when someone else in the family would also show signs that something strange had occurred. It was their son, Daniel.
There were many times when my husband and I would wake up in the morning and basically have to hunt around the house to locate Daniel. We'd usually discover him in another room as opposed to being in his bedroom. Or he'd be in a closet or under a chair or table. It was very strange. We'd always ask him what he was doing, and he would tell us that he was hiding from something. What that something was, he was never quite sure.
It was a decade and a half later when Dan, the husband, had something truly strange happen to him.
I received a call from Dan while he was at work. He asked me to come and get him and drive him to the hospital. When I arrived and got him, his heart was pounding and he couldn't breathe. He thought he was having a heart attack.
Dan was admitted to the hospital, and doctors quickly established that he wasn't having a heart attack. However, they were at a loss as to what the problem might be. Several doctors examined Dan and his symptoms. One believed, for reasons unknown, that he was having a series of panic attacks, perhaps caused by severe stress. Another doctor suggested that Dan might have an inner ear infection. Ultimately, though, his condition remained undiagnosed. And from that point on, Dan became a recluse of sorts. Joyce would recall the following.
He couldn't do anything. Couldn't work. Couldn't leave the house. It was almost as though he was depressed for some unknown reason. He would tell me, "There's something in the back of my mind that's just trying to come out, but I don't know what."
What that something was would soon come barreling towards the front of his mind like a freight train.
One night, Dan was watching a film called Communion. It was about a man in upstate New York who claimed to have been kidnapped by aliens. There was a particular scene where this little alien peeked out from behind the doorway. As soon as the scene came on, Dan just burst into tears and started shaking. He was hysterical. I came into the room to see what was wrong, and he told me, those eyes are what I saw.
Dan was referring to what had happened to them back in 1976. It was around a week later, while watching television again, that Dan saw a program that featured psychiatric therapist John Carpenter, who had worked quite extensively with people who claimed, or at least suspected, that they had been victims of alien abduction. Dan would contact Carpenter to see if he could help him piece together that night back in 1976. He would undergo hypnotic regression and was taken back to that evening. Dan would recall the following during that initial hypnosis session.
"There's a strange figure. It's showing me something."
Carpenter instructed Dan to take a good look at what it could be.
"It's something metallic, like a little spade. It's going to hurt."
Initially, Dan kept the details of the session to himself. However, a short time after beginning these sessions, Joyce began to have her own flashback recollections. In fact, more than just flashbacks.
"The conscious memories just came back. There wasn't anything that I could do to stop them from coming back."
Following these sudden recollections, Joyce also visited Carpenter in order to undergo hypnotic regression. Carpenter would state the following.
"Not only had the RNs likely had a traumatic abduction experience of some kind, but whatever it was, it seemed as though they were abducted together and at the same time."
And this, they would all learn, was only the beginning. Hey everyone, Ryan Sprague here, host of Somewhere in the Skies. If you've ever thought about supporting us, we have great two easy options for you right now. If you listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, you can click the subscribe button at the top of your Apple feed. Or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/somewhereskies. Both of these options give you the same benefits. Early access to the main show, bonus episodes and content, and priority to ask our guests your listener questions. So, to help support Somewhere in the Skies, click that subscribe button on Apple or visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you so much for your support, and keep looking up.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
After seeking help from abduction researcher John Carpenter, husband and wife Dan and Joyce Ahrens both went under hypnotic regression to retrieve memories of an event that took place in 1976. After both sessions, it was surmised that this was the couple's first, quote, shared abduction experience. Eventually, under hypnosis, the Ahrens began to piece together just what had happened that eventful night. Dan would recall the following.
On that night in 1976, I was cowering in the corner of the bed. I was scared to death of something at the end of the bed. It was a little being of some sort. Then my eyes shot towards Joyce. There was another being, then another at the crib where Heather was sleeping.
Joyce would also recall seeing the three beings. One of them would touch her arm, making her spring up in bed. But what happened next did more than just startle her. It terrified her beyond belief.
They took Heather out of the crib. They took my baby and began to carry her away. Try as I might, I couldn't do anything. I was stuck in bed just watching in horror. It was like a kidnapper kidnapping your child and you can't do anything about it.
Dan would recall the same thing.
I was overwhelmed with helplessness. I watched one of the beings head towards the crib. I didn't move. I didn't move. I couldn't move.
Then things took an even stranger turn. According to Joyce, both she and Dan were then marched outside by these strange beings before all of the family were floated onto a spaceship. While it was now clear that the entire Ahrens family had seemingly been subject to a harrowing alien abduction ordeal, it would be a further 5 years before Heather, now in her early 20s, agreed to also undergo hypnosis. And those revelations would be equally as startling. Carpenter would eventually offer that what Dan and Joyce had learned during their own hypnotic regression sessions, they had made a very special effort not to discuss any of it in front of their children. They both suspected that they too had been abducted by these beings, and they didn't wish to influence their own potential suppressed memories of the events. To begin with, Heather was a little dubious about hypnotic regression and if it would reveal anything of consequence. However, as soon as the session was underway, Memories and flashes were at the forefront of her mind almost immediately. According to her mother, this is what she remembered.
She recalled one of the beings taking her out of her room and bringing her on board something. She could remember them asking if she wanted to play. They didn't speak, though. It was through Heather's mind that she could hear them. They wanted to play some sort of telepathic game with her. She told them that she didn't want to play and that all she wanted was to go home.
Whether it was a subconscious act of denial or not, the son, Daniel, despite the fact that he was repeatedly discovered asleep in different rooms of the house, believed that he had not been a part of any strange events. At the time, though, 2 decades after the 1976 night, he would offer that he believed something did happen to his parents and Heather. He also admitted that he was too scared to discover what memories he might have had. In fact, whenever his parents spoke about the encounter, even to themselves, Daniel found listening to the details too emotional. He would, though, eventually agree to undergo hypnotic regression himself. Carpenter would highlight the recurring dream that had plagued Daniel since he was a young child, stating that this dream would be an ideal exploration point, as it likely was triggered by suppressed memories of a real event.
After taking Daniel through the basics of hypnotic regression, including reassuring him that just because his family had recalled bizarre events didn't mean that he necessarily would, or that he would even be subjected to them, I took him back to his childhood, where he was around 5 years old. Eventually, I would guide him to the recurring dreams, asking him where he was when the dream begins.
Here is Joyce relaying what Daniel believed to have happened.
Daniel recalled being in bed and hearing a noise that sounded like a can dropping. The sound was from the garage. He was so scared that he didn't want to look. He then suddenly realized that he was no longer in his room, but was somewhere completely different. A white, sterile, cold room. Then he saw 2 beings standing in front of him. He described them as tall and lanky with long fingers, big heads, and dark eyes. They had no hair and no ears.
At this point in the session, Daniel would recall the beings walking towards him. But something was of more concern than the beings simply moving closer. Joyce would relay what happened next, according to Daniel's recollections.
He remembered one of the beings have something in its hand, like a shiny stick or a wand. The being was making it move in front of Daniel and then place the end of the wand on Daniel's head. He remembered it hurting when the being did this. And then, everything went dark.
It was at this point that Carpenter had brought Daniel out from hypnosis. The entire session had lasted just under 2 hours long. Carpenter then asked Daniel one simple question that would yield an answer that proved to be anything but simple.
I asked Daniel if he believed all of it to have just been a dream. He looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, "No, I don't believe it was a dream."
Carpenter also asked Daniel before the session about any strange marks, bruises, or cuts that he had suddenly noticed on his body, to which, according to his father, Daniel would state the following.
He did remember one specific time when he did discover something strange. He recalled waking up one morning and heading to the bathroom. However, that morning, he discovered this spoon-shaped mark on his left inner thigh. He immediately rushed downstairs to tell me. When he showed it to me, I was in shock, because I had an identical scoop-like mark in the same exact spot on my thigh.
It was clear that whatever had happened that night had happened to all of the Ahrens family. But it didn't end there.
Heather would eventually have a child of her own. Dan and I were now grandparents and learned the terrible truth that our grandchild had also been visited and possibly taken by these beings. My grandbaby would tell Heather that these little buddies would often come to play in his room with him, and that when they would leave, he would watch their ship fly away. Whatever was happening, whoever these beings were or wherever they came from, they seemed to be interested in our family through the generations. For whatever reason, we just don't know.
Could it be that these beings were interested in the genetics of the Ahrens family? Could those genetics have been pivotal to whatever agenda lay at the heart of these multi-generational alien abduction experiences? It should be noted that the contention when it comes to hypnotic regression is fierce. Many find benefit in the practice and hold high value on its outcomes. But just as many feel it to be complete bunk, and that the individuals who conduct the sessions, whether knowingly or not, will often ask leading questions of the person who is in a vulnerable position, both physically and, more importantly, mentally. Hypnotic regression therapist John Carpenter would state the following.
At no point had I led any of the Ahrens. This is something I pay very close attention to for the exact reason that many don't trust the use of hypnotic regression to begin with. I in no way influenced any of their responses, nor did I ever bring up anything prior to, during, or after each individual session about alien abductions, nor would I share anything that they said while under the regression. This was so that they would not influence one another. Now, obviously, I couldn't be with this family every second of every day to monitor whether they were discussing it with one another, but they specifically told me they were not, and I trusted them just as much as they trusted me to help them.
The other possibility that many skeptics would offer of this case was that the Ahrens had made the entire thing up. Again, Carpenter would state the following.
While it's not completely out of the question that this could be an elaborate hoax, it would greatly depend on the entire family all knowing what the trick questions were, a technique many practitioners use to filter out such things as lies or embellishments. So while not impossible, it would be highly, highly unlikely that four people would have been able to orchestrate such a hoax. And for what purpose? They never received any sort of monetary gain, nor did they ever go out of their way to be public about any of it. To me, the Ahrens family experienced something that they could not explain, and it affected each of them greatly. Their accounts, in my opinion, deserve the utmost respect and serious study.
After several interviews in the mid-1990s for the television series Sightings, it seemed that the Ahrens family no longer wished to speak about their experiences in public. So it was never truly known if these experiences continued thereafter. But Dan Ahren would briefly speak publicly in 2002 for a local newspaper article stating the following.
Both of our children suffered significant, long-lasting mental effects from these encounters. We had so much more to lose than to gain by speaking about any of this. But we did. And we can't change that.
Joyce, after her initial interactions and subsequent hypnosis sessions with John Carpenter, would tell him the following.
As a parent, you spend every waking moment trying to protect your children against all the dangers in the world. But what do you do when that danger not only can control your body and your mind, but possibly doesn't even come from this world?
No matter what did or didn't happen to the Ahrens family, it's quite clear that none of them were ever the same. If it was some sort of collective psychosis or hysteria, then that would be very unfortunate, to say the least. The same could be said if all of this was just a hoax. But if all of this was indeed real, if something came into the Ahrens' home back in 1976 and abducted them, and continued to do so throughout the years and generations, then what was the true purpose of these experiences? And will the Ahrens, or we for that matter, ever truly know what lay behind the abduction phenomenon? Those answers, as always, seem to remain elusive somewhere in the skies. This episode was co-written by Marcus Sloth. To learn more, visit UFOinsight.com. Special thanks to our voiceover talents in this episode, Amy Murphy, Andrew Sanford, and Brent Hand. You can find links to all of their work in the show notes. And you can follow us on Twitter at Somewhere Skies or on Instagram at Somewhere Skies Pod. Please take a moment to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us gain visibility and find new listeners. Special thanks to the E1 Podcast Network, and also a special thanks to you for listening. Remember, keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching somewhere in the skies.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
I'm Ryan Sprague.
And I'm Andrew Sanford.
And we love pro wrestling.
It's the best!
Headlocks, elbow drops,
scathing promos, and chair shots.
We just can't get enough of it. So we started a podcast.
You can join Ryan and me as we dig into the ins and outs of pro wrestling like the rabid fans we are.
We've got interviews, previews, predictions, news, and so much more. And we're going to cover all of it on Somewhere in the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Is that supposed to be Macho Man?
Nope, no good.
We'll work on it. Join us every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts, for all new episodes. And we'll see you somewhere in the ring.
Somewhere in the Ring is part of the E1 Podcast Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.